We want to remind you that they were both playing ukulele, and Dr. Yi teaches ukulele every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. And he also teaches why playing things like the ukulele and memorizing songs like that really help your body, mind, and spirit too. It's music therapy that he teaches. And so we're thankful for him sharing some of that today, and for just this opportunity to show you the kinds of things that they teach, or he teaches in his ukulele class. And so now our second scripture reading comes from the book of 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 5 to 14. Listen now to the word of God. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I should give you." And Solomon said, "You have shown great and steadfast love to your servant, my father David, because he walked before you in faithfulness, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart toward you. And you have kept for him this great and steadfast love, and have given him a son to sit on his throne today. And now, O Lord, my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David. Although I am only a little child," he was 16 at the time, "I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of the people whom you have chosen, a great people, so numerous they cannot be numbered or counted. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, able to discern between good and evil, for who can govern this, your great people?" It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this, and so God said to him, "Because you have asked this and have not asked for yourself long life or riches or for the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right, I now do according to your word. Indeed, I give you a wise and discerning mind. No one like you has been before you, and no one like you shall arise after you. I give you also what you have not asked, both riches and honor all your life. No other king shall compare with you. If you will walk in my ways, keeping my statutes and my commandments as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your life." Holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God.
Test. Okay.
I've been thinking a lot this past week about truth and wisdom and God's grace. The dream writers are writing because they want to raise awareness about the truth of how the end of DACA will hurt not just Hispanic students, but also Koreans and young people from other countries. I have a feeling maybe this earring that I'm wearing is doing this, so let me take this out. Okay. Oh, maybe it is that. Sorry about this. Not sure what's happening. The Catholic Church got blasted by the truth that was revealed in Pennsylvania this week by the Attorney General, whose investigation for the past 2 years uncovered secret documents detailing the mishandling of abuse cases involving over 1,000 children by more than 300 priests. That's absolutely outrageous, as you all know. The truth sets us free. But what is truth? Webster's dictionary said, "Something is true when it is in accordance with fact or reality." Something is true when it is in accordance with fact or reality. In other words, words that are like truth are also verifiable or accurate and correct. Those words help us define what truth is. There once was a woman shopping for truth. Let's see how she found it.
Why, good morning, madam. May I help you?
Well, yes, please. I
I'm having a touch of dishonesty, and I'd like some truth, please. I hear it's very effective, but I've looked everywhere, and I can't find it anywhere.
Of course, madam. What kind of truth would you like?
I thought there was just one kind.
Oh, no, madam. There are many kinds of truths. Take this one, for example. Truth. Very simple to apply. Listen. Everything is relative. There is no absolute truth except the absolute truth that there is no absolute truth. What is true for you? Great for salving a guilty conscience.
That sounds a bit philosophical for me. I just want some truth.
How about half-truths? They're very good. Quick acting, but not long-lasting, I'm afraid.
Fast relief.
But those everyday embarrassing moments.
I'm not sure I understand.
Well, for example, half-truth.
For example, half-truths would give you the courage to say to your neighbor, "I'm terribly sorry, but somebody has run over your cat," without actually telling them that it was you.
Oh, I'm not sure about that. What are the others?
Well, how about whole truth?
Oh, yeah, that sounds good.
It's very wholesome indeed, ma'am. What you might call nothing but the truth. It's excellent. Very effective indeed, especially if you have a bit of blockage, full of moral fiber.
Oh, that sounds good. But what's that big box over there?
That, madam, is absolute and definitive truth, the ultimate. It includes ultimate morality, perfect justice, the meaning of life. It's all in there, madam. All you need to know. It can be unpleasant to take and uncomfortable to live with. It's uncompromising, but the results are remarkable. That, madam, is absolute truth.
There's quite a lot of it. It must be very powerful.
Oh, it's the best, madam. It's totally effective. All you have to do is take it. But as you can appreciate, madam, it's a little hard to swallow.
I can imagine.
Well, madam, what would you like?
Well, I think I'll have a package of half-truth, please.
12, 24, or 48, Pat? What would you like?
I think 24 would be fine.
And is there anything else for you?
Yes, I'll have a box of those weak excuses and an envelope of white lies. And those statistics look great. I'll have a bunch of those, too.
Very good. Will it be for you? You'll like a bag for 10 cents.
Thank you. As you can see, there's a lot of truth in this skit that they provided for us. And this is how Solomon started out. He did start out with being very focused on wisdom and truth. He was the son of King David, and he was smart enough to know that he needed true wisdom to be a good leader. Truth leads to wisdom. Wisdom leads to peace, and peace leads to happiness. Solomon was sort of like Warren Buffett of the Bible, like the legendary billionaire from Omaha that I've never actually met, but I really admire Warren Buffett because he is a very integrous person too. So Solomon started out this way. He was best known for his wisdom and his wealth. And God was so pleased with Solomon's priorities that he showered him with not only crazy wisdom, but he also showered him with riches and then honor, too. Suddenly, Solomon had this very great wisdom, as vast as the sand on the seashore, the Bible says, so that it surpassed the wisdom of all the people of the East and all the wisdom of Egypt. People came from all nations to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And if you read further along in the Bible, in 1 Kings 10, you can see the most famous of these visitors that came to see Solomon was the Queen of Sheba, because she was so blown away by Solomon's big brain. She had to come see it herself. But sadly, as time goes by, Solomon's wisdom goes to his head, so to speak, and he becomes greedy and selfish and heady and acts as if he is equal to God after a while. After he successfully builds the temple, he becomes overly confident. And so Solomon's downfall basically consists of three stages. First, out of control polygamy. He had many wives. Then he succumbed to idolatry. And then he let his political problems pile up. Sound familiar? Sadly, history repeats itself in many ways if we don't keep our focus on God. Psalm 51 says, God desires truth in our inward being. God wants us to live lives of truth and wisdom, with an understanding that we are dependent upon God's grace through it all. Solomon's downfall was when he forgot his wisdom was from God's grace and not from his own brain, and he fell off the path of righteousness and into a snare of self-satisfaction. Truth sets us free because we have nothing to hide when we tell the truth. Being truthful and honest leads people to trust us. Albert Einstein said, "Whoever is careless with the truth in small matters cannot be trusted with important matters." Truth tellers are fruitful in the end because real success is based on truth, not on lies. In her TED Talk on the power of truth telling, sociologist Christine Carter shared the secret to happiness. And she said, the secret is when a person doesn't feel like they have to lie about anything at all in their lives, people who are truly happy are those who live in total integrity with themselves. Those who live open, honest, and transparent lives are the happiest because we human beings need the truth like we need food. And we are starving for the truth in this era. She describes how the general population, though, learns how to not be honest from an early age because we are worried about what others think about us, and then we pretend we are happy by just half-truths, when we are really deep down anxious or angry inside. All of this pretending that our society tends to do is a form of lying. And lying is the most stressful thing you can do to your brain and body. That's why in a polygraph test, it registers high blood pressure, rapid heartbeat, and rapid breathing when a person is lying, even if on their face it looks like they're feeling nothing, because lying is stressful internally to the body. I was at a wedding last night. I conducted a wedding over at the Hyatt Regency for one of my leadership Santa Rosa colleagues and his wife. And the little ring bearer was left at the end when everyone had paraded out, and he didn't have anyone to walk out with, so I grabbed his hand and walked out with him. And his name was Austin, and he's in second grade. The cutest little guy, great big thick glasses, blonde hair, blue eyes, and just the cutest little kind of hyperactive little second grader. So on the way out, I said, "How did you like the wedding service, the ceremony?" And he said, "Oh, it was good," he said, "but I got kind of bored in the middle of it." He said, "There were a lot of words." And he said, "But the whole thing was nice." But I thought, you know, in second grade, kids are still so honest. You ask them something and they'll tell you what's really the truth, what they really feel. And he didn't even hedge to say, "I got kind of bored in the middle of it." So I love kids for that reason. Now, this in this TED Talk, Christine Carter said, she doesn't recommend answering every question that is asked you, though, with a harsh truth, such as, "Does my butt look big?" or "Does this dress make me look fat?" But instead, she says, instead of lying, you can ask them how they are feeling. You don't have to answer. You can just say, "How are you feeling? Do you feel pretty in that dress? What are you really concerned about right now?" And then listen with compassion. When you speak your truth, people might respond with shock or even anger if you're being authentic. But when you explain that your integrity is now your priority in life, then you will be sharing your real self with the world, and those who care about you will be supportive. Over time, you will feel better and be psychologically healthier, too. False selves hold you back from experiencing deep joy, but it takes courage to be your authentic self in this world. The power in truth-telling can be scary powerful, too. We must swim upstream with the truth against the current of lies, for instance, that are flowing out of our White House right now. We must be brave enough to call for the truth and call for others to be truthful too. Solomon lost his kingdom when he started worshiping idols and other gods and himself. Wealth went to his head. Successful author and motivational speaker Bo Bennett said, "For every good reason there is to lie, there is a better reason to tell the truth." So I want to leave you today with my favorite quote on truth, and it gives me hope for a peaceful future despite the lack of truth that we are struggling with in our society today. Martin Luther King Jr. said, "I refuse to accept the view that humankind is so tragically bound to the starless midnight of racism and war that the bright daybreak of peace and brotherhood can never become a reality. I believe that unarmed truth and unconditional love will have the final word." Amen. And now we do have a video. Is it up so we can run it? I wanted to share with you this video since it really nails it to about truth.
People have to understand, are you using your device or is your device using you? Can you put it down? Can you turn it off?
If you don't read the newspaper, you're uninformed. If you do read it, you're misinformed.
So what do you do?
That's a great question. What is the long-term effect of too much information? One of the effects is the need to be first, not even to be true anymore. So what a responsibility you all have to tell the truth, not just to be first, but to tell the truth. We live in a society now where it's just first. Who cares? Get it out there. We don't care who it hurts. We don't care who we destroy. We don't care if it's true. Just say it, sell it.
My biggest concern is the unfettered access to social media and cell phones, quite frankly, because there's a biology to these things that are as addictive as alcohol, nicotine, and gambling.
Right now, a family is out to dinner at a restaurant, not enjoying each other's company, but each staring into the screen of their choice, completely ignoring the family members. And this is mom, dad, and the children all doing the same thing while they continue to eat. They did it the entire meal. Right now, an infant is getting their first iPhone and learning to tap and swipe all while drooling on it. 92% of two-year-olds play video games. Because that is what parents are putting in front of their precious children to keep them entertained and quiet.
This is your life now. No natural behavior. Everybody's wearing clothes they don't want to wear. Everybody's showing up and doing something they don't want to do. They have no connection to. That's the problem with our society. And then what's the reward for all this stuff? Go home, get a big TV. Go home, you're gonna get a shiny belt buckle. You're gonna get a nice purse. You're gonna wear shoes that you couldn't afford last week. You're gonna get that dream car. And every week we're chasing down this new object. And every week we're trying to fill this hole in this sad shadow of a life that we've been left with after work. That you work 8 to whatever the hours a day plus commuting. And then you're like this. And that's your life. That's your real life. All that other stuff is not your life anymore. All that other stuff is work. And most of us have committed to that. I know you've been there before, and I've been there before. And we understand that it's a trap because we got out of it. But for the people that are in it, a lot of times they don't even understand it's a trap. They just think it's a good job. They think they got dental. I'm doing really good. I got my own parking spots, got my name on it. And you're just a piece of a heartless, shitty machine that makes money.
All these kids that are graduating college with these $80,000 degrees that can't even work at Starbucks. All the people who put their money in the stock market and bought all this real estate 2008, it all went away. Don't let anybody fool you into believing that there's a guarantee, that there's a safe way. The well-trodden path is the scariest way in my opinion. Right? Because then you just spent the last 80 years of your life doing everything that everybody else told you to do, and you never really lived or produced anything unique. If everybody's going this way, go that way.
We now know that many of the major social media companies hire individuals called attention engineers, who borrow principles from Las Vegas casino gambling, among other places, to try to make these products as addictive as possible.
In South Korea, internet addiction is classified along with alcohol, cigarettes, and gambling as an addiction.
Well, you know, it's about balance. It's not that they're inherently bad, and it's not that texting or social media is inherently bad, but it's when it gets out of balance. If somebody carries their phone wherever they go, like they physically feel anxiety if they put it down, when they're with their friends and have to have it up the entire time looking at the phone while they're with their friends, you know, when they wake up in the morning and check their phone before they say good morning to the person sleeping next to them, these are problems. This is out of balance.
I'm not knocking the phone. What I'm saying is we have to understand, we have to at least ask ourselves, around the world, you here in England, wherever you are, what is it doing to us?
And so let us make a pact with God that we will live the truth and realize that the idols of today that can take us away from God are things like the internet and our cell phones, and the idea that we are infallible. Amen.